Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. There are all kinds of lies, little lies, white lies, polite lies, lies of omission, and lies of commission, lies that get you out of trouble, or more often, into trouble. And there are all sorts of reasons for people to tell those lies. Yeah, we all know that honesty is the best policy, but why tell your best friend that her new hairstyle makes her look like Bozo the Clown? And wouldn't it just be easier all around to tell your boss that yes, absolutely, you'd already started on that year-end report, and then run into your office and make good on the promise? And is it really all that big a deal if your neighbor somehow got the idea that you made that pie from scratch for the last potluck picnic? A little fib can protect someone's feelings, and a modest dose of self-deception can make it that much easier to sleep at night. But some lies are not so harmless. Lies that put national security at risk or that hide crimes require legal intervention. But how to separate the liar from the truth-teller? How can we know for certain when someone is up to no good? For as long as human beings have been telling lies to one another, people have tried to develop techniques for detecting deception and determining truth. These techniques have almost always included interviews and interrogations to try to see through the lies to reveal what a deceiver will not freely admit. In the 20th century, lie detection took on scientific aspects with the development of techniques that use measures of physiological responses as indicators of deception. The best known of these is the polygraph, or in layman's parlance, the lie detector. This technique has become, for many in the U.S. law enforcement and intelligence and counterintelligence communities, the most valued method for identifying criminals, spies, and saboteurs when direct evidence is lacking. Polygraph testing is most often identified with criminal investigations, where the technology is used to uncover the truth after a crime or a specific event. Although there are many restrictions on the use of polygraph results in courts, they are often used to help direct and focus criminal investigations. In these cases, lie detector tests can differentiate lying from telling the truth at rates well above chance. But they are still far from perfect. Polygraph testing is also used for employee and pre-employment screening. As a pre-screening device, they're typically used in law enforcement or by agencies involved in national security. The great majority of U.S. police departments, for example, include polygraph examinations as a routine part of their pre-employment screening batteries. Pre-clearance screening may involve current employees who are being considered for new assignments, typically at a higher level of clearance. Polygraphs are also used for screening current employees, especially in security-sensitive occupations. For example, the U.S. Department of Energy polygraph program, established in 1999, mandated polygraph examinations for about 1,300 employees in sensitive positions. A year later, the program was expanded to cover several thousand additional employees. But when used in these kinds of circumstances to screen potential or existing employees, the process can quickly become complicated. Polygraph examiners make inferences about a person's future behavior based on information about previous deeds. But past indiscretions may differ significantly from those which authorities hope to prevent in the future. Does lying about using illegal drugs tell us whether someone is likely to become a spy? The different uses of the polygraph involve the search for different kinds of information and have very different implications. When you ask a question about a specific incident, did you see the victim on Monday, or did you take the file home yesterday, there's often far less room for ambiguity. And so it's clear what facts constitute a truthful answer. But for employee screening, there's no specific event being investigated, and the questions by necessity become much more generic. So a polygraph examiner may ask, "Did you ever reveal classified information to an unauthorized person?" But unless there are clear and consistent criteria that specify what activities justify a yes answer, questions like these can leave both the examinee and the examiner in doubt as to what constitutes a truthful response. Someone may believe they're lying when they give factually truthful responses, or vice versa. Polygraph tests might also elicit admissions to acts not central to the intent of the question, and these answers might be judged either as successes or failures of the test. Polygraph examinations are widely used both in the United States and in some other countries, most notably Israel, Japan, and Canada. The polygraph continues to be the subject of a great deal of scientific and public controversy in the United States. A 1983 report by the U.S. Office of Technology Assessment examining the validity of the polygraph raised a number of criticisms that are still being voiced. The 1988 Employee Polygraph Protection Act sharply limited the use of polygraphs in employment settings, largely because of doubts about its validity for screening. Different courts have different sets of rules about the admissibility of polygraph evidence, and even about what test must be met for such evidence to be considered admissible. Many people find polygraph testing objectionable, and there are several websites and organizations devoted solely to discrediting the polygraph. It is against this background of continuing controversy and concern that the U.S. Department of Energy asked the National Research Council to conduct a study of the scientific validity and reliability of using polygraph testing to identify personnel who may jeopardize national security. Employees who work in sensitive positions at the Department of Energy labs and similar federal sites are subject to testing by law. The exams include a pretest interview between the examiner and test taker, followed by a polygraph interrogation that records an individual's physiological responses, such as respiration rate and changes in blood flow, to a series of questions. Examiners later analyze the records of these responses to help make inferences about whether someone is being honest. The drawbacks of current polygraph exams are abundantly clear. Polygraph testing now rests on weak scientific underpinnings despite nearly a century of study that generally lacks scientific rigor. And because the largest part of the evidence comes from studies that assess lie detection related to specific events, it has limited relevance to pre- and post-employment screening. All this combines to make polygraph testing less accurate for employee screening than for investigating specific incidents. On a more basic level, theories about how deception is linked to the physiological responses being measured have not been verified. A variety of mental and physical factors, such as anxiety about being tested, can affect polygraph results, making the technique susceptible to error. People also can learn ways to mimic some physiological responses of truthful test takers. This is a particular concern when dealing with deceptive individuals who have strong incentives and sufficient resources to perfect certain countermeasures or ploys to appear honest and avoid detection. Available research sheds little light on how well examiners can systematically expose these people. But despite its weak science base, polygraph testing is commonly believed to be a highly valid procedure for detecting lies. Popular culture and the mass media often portray lie detectors as magical mind-reading machines. The mystique surrounding the exams, instead of a solid scientific foundation, may account for much of their usefulness to authorities. Examiners' field reports and indirect scientific evidence indicate that testing programs may deter potential security violators or elicit confessions from some offenders who, unaware of the test's weaknesses, believe that a lie detector would surely catch them. The federal government relies heavily on polygraph testing to identify people who have committed or who might commit espionage and sabotage. But overconfidence in this method may endanger national security objectives by creating a false sense of security among lawmakers, federal employees in sensitive jobs, and the general public. As a result, other ways to ensure safety could be neglected, creating situations that might actually increase the rate of security lapses. Resources could be wasted by devoting too much attention to employee screening and too little to other security measures. Plus, retention of highly skilled and valuable government workers could suffer because employees might fear the consequences of being falsely identified as dishonest. Some potential alternatives to polygraphs show promise, but none has led to scientific breakthroughs in lie detection. And the federal government has not seriously developed the science base of any method to detect deception through the analysis of individuals' psychological and physiological reactions. Our mothers always told us that lying was bad policy. Tangled webs aside, though, when lies are used to cover up more than our reasons for not cleaning our room, when they are the thin line standing between life and death, danger and security, crime and punishment, it becomes that much more important to distinguish truth from falsehood. Steven Feinberg, chair of the National Research Council Committee and professor of statistics and computer science at Carnegie Mellon University, observed that national security is too important to be left to such a blunt instrument. Given the polygraph's serious limitations, it is clear that we need to look more broadly for effective alternative methods. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.